90.7 FM. My name is Enimwa Enim Ado. I'm so thankful. I know you could be anywhere listening to anything, but you're listening to us, and we absolutely love you for that. So we're on until about 8, and you know that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so we'll be having conversations with survivors. And you know how I always tell you to go on Facebook because the visuals are always better. Well, let me say that tonight the visuals are exceptionally better. So please go to Facebook, especially the women. We have like some very hot deliciousness going on in the studio. So you definitely want to watch us on Facebook as well. And of course, I mean, please comment, send in your questions. We'll be monitoring there. So, all right. So tonight, I have Auntie Barbara. Hello, Auntie Barbara.
Hello.
Barbara Douna. And she's here with her son, Tim Azza.
Yes.
And then joining us on Zoom is Auntie Barbara's niece, Mercy Fletcher. Yes. Your favorite... Yes. Do your other nieces know that she's your favorite niece?
I don't know.
Okay, so your only niece. Okay, Auntie Barbara, welcome. Thank you so much for being
here. Thank you, too.
So, Auntie Barbara, tell me about the day that you found something unusual.
Thank you. I'm Barbara Douna, a 58-year-old woman. That was in January, but I've forgotten the date.
Okay.
2020. After finished bathing, I was just wiping my body.
Mm.
And then my hand touched my breast.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt something there.
Okay.
So I ignored it. But after 3 days, I was wiping myself again and I felt it.
Why did you ignore it?
In fact, I just forget about it.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So 3 days later, when I felt it again, I called my son.
Mm.
I said, Junior, come and look at something. So he came. Then I said, see. So he touched it. Said, hey, ma, what is it? And you know, I know that if there is a lump in your breast, it means cancer. So that day, we wept.
Oh.
Yeah. Finding out the lump, we wept.
So this was before you went to the doctor?
Before we went to
the doctor. So just the two of you?
No. The two of us, we wept.
Okay.
Before going to the doctor. And you know, next month will be exactly 21 years. My mother passed away.
Mm.
She also had cancer,
okay,
but of the lymphoma.
Okay.
Cancer of the lymph nodes.
Lymph nodes, okay.
Uh-huh. So immediately when I saw it, I called one herbal station, herbal center, and I talked to them about it, and they said I should come. So I went there, they checked, and they said, oh, it's not cancer. So they gave me medicine. I did it for 1 month, or maybe one to 1.5 months. Still, the lamp is there. So there is a nurse in my house called Stanko.
Okay.
I called her, and she came to fill my breast.
Mm.
And she said, ma, please go to hospital and do mammogram. So I went to SNIT Hospital and did the mammogram. When the results came, she works at Achimota Hospital. So she said the following day, she'll take me to the hospital to see a specialist there.
Mm.
So I went to see the doctor, Dr. Okun. I showed my report to him, and he said, oh, I have to go and do biopsy.
Okay.
So he gave me a note, and then he took something from the lamp in my breast. And I took it to where the biopsy will be checked.
Okay.
So the day Ghana was sprayed during the COVID time, that was the day I went for my report.
Mm.
And I'm somebody who is very curious. So on my way coming, I just opened the results. And I saw that they have written carcinogenic. But previously, before I went to the hospital, when the doctor saw the report, he said maybe it can be cancer.
Mm.
So if the results come before,
they will know.
So the following day, I took the report to the doctor. and he looked at it and he said, I have cancer.
So wait, you went to for the reports?
Yeah.
Then you opened it?
Yes.
And then you didn't go to the doctor that day?
The time I went for the report,
it
the
was
doctor...
Late.
So then the next day.
So between the time that you opened it and you read it, and the next day, what was going on in your mind?
When I got home, I Googled and checked the word carcinoma. And I saw that I have cancer.
Did you tell him? Did you tell your son?
I told him. But I said, you let me take it to the doctor and find out what the results will be.
Did you sleep?
That day, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. It was horrible. So the following morning, I took it to the doctor. And he checked it. And he said, it's cancer, stage 2.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So he'll give me referral letter to Kolibu. They'll give me chemo. I'll have my surgery. And then I'll do my radiation. And then I'll be on hormonal therapy. So he gave me the letter with everything to go. But, you know, the time my mother was alive, whenever we go to Kolibu for her chemo, when we come back, what my mother passed through, the pain after the chemo, nausea, vomiting, feeling weak for more than 1 week. And then later she died. I said, me, to go to Kolibu. Even if, whenever I hear the name Kolibu, I become annoyed. Because of what I saw, what my mother went through. So in fact, I brought the referral letter and everything to the house and went back to the Heber Hospital and told them that it was cancer. So I did a Heber treatment and then alternative for about almost 10 months. And my son here, around September or so, he called my cousin in London. That's my auntie's daughter. And I think she told her everything. And she also told her mother that this is what is going on. So my auntie called me. And she said, why didn't you go to Kolibu? I said, hey, to go and take chemo, I'll not do that. She said, please go. I didn't go. So because of me, my aunt left London. And she came all the way to Ghana just to talk to me and go to Kolibu. In fact, it was something else. It was something else. I show my report to my auntie. And then they have a family friend in London called Dr. Chimensa. So they sent my report to him. And he said, no, I have to go to Kolibu. I said, I won't go. And my auntie told me that he said I shouldn't worry, but they are having a family friend here. He's also a doctor, Dr. Wellington. May his soul rest in peace. He died last year.
Okay.
So we went to see Dr. Wellington.
Where?
At Hachu.
Okay.
He's also staying at Hachu.
Okay.
We are in the same area.
Okay.
He worked with Kolibu sometimes some years back before he went to Trust Hospital at Adenta. So we went to see Dr.
Wellington.
Wellington. He saw my report and he said, we are going to Kolibu. I said, me, I'm not going. I started crying. I said, he said, cry everything from your eyes. Whether you like it or not, you go to Kolibu. He said in Ghana, ya fo no your fan no ba fo efo ko fo gbe na ni nko ba Kolibu e lo ba fo ba Kolibu. So that day I wept like a baby. I really wept. So he wrote another letter on the referral letter that because of my mother's situation, I was afraid to come there and take the chemo. So we went to Kolibu. And then I went to see the doctor. My auntie took me to Kolibu.
Okay.
Went to see the doctor. And what Dr. Okun told me at Achimota Hospital was the same thing Dr. Nsafo at Kolebu Sejika told me that I will do my, I'll go for chemo six cycles. I'll have my
surgery
and then radiation, and then I'll be on hormonal therapy. That day, my sister, it was not easy. It was not easy. Do you know one funny thing? When we went to see the doctor, there's a younger doctor who is taking my, was asking me questions.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Nsafu was also, there was another patient. He was a man.
Mm.
And doctor was telling him that you do your surgery, you have to take chemo again. I'm sitting in front of a different doctor,
mm-hmm.
but my mind was at the other place.
Mm-hmm.
I started weeping, and my auntie said, "Ah, why are you weeping?" I said, "The doctor said the man is going to have, they are going to surgery. You go for surgery, taking chemo." Said, "Are you that man? You are a different person. He's also a different person. So take your mind off from that place and listen to the doctor that is talking to you." So I went to see Dr. Safo, and after everything, he said I should go to one room at Sejika.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you go there, there are psychologists there.
Mm-hmm.
They will talk to you what you go through. Even that day when I went there, I saw one
survivor
there. She talked to me. She showed me her breast. Then I told myself that, well, I'm here, and I decided to do the treatment.
Okay.
So
after almost a year.
No, 10 months, within 10 to 11 months, because I started my chemo early February.
Okay, so January to February.
I started my chemo 2021. But I saw it 2020.
Yeah, so it's also almost about a year later than you started.
Yeah, 1 year, one month. 1 month, yeah. Mm. Yeah, 1 year, 1 month.
So, I mean, when you were doing the herbal and the back and forth and all of that, I mean, were you not afraid? Like,
no.
did you feel like it was working? Did you?
Do you know one thing? I was so desperate that I didn't stay at one place. Whenever somebody called me and said, "Oh, I know of a herbal, maybe I'll do 2 months here,
okay,
then I'll leave." But most of the cancer patients, they said that the herbs did not work for them.
Mm.
But on my part, the time they saw, the doctor told me that this is the result, it was stage two.
Okay.
And a year later when I went, it was still
stage two.
It hasn't spread. Uh-huh.
Okay.
That is my own part of story.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So let me just ask Tim. I mean, when Mom was doing the whole herbal thing, obviously at some point you got worried.
Very.
Okay. So what was that like?
To be
she wasn't listening to you.
To be very frank, it was not. It was one of the. To be very honest, it was one of the worst decisions I'd say my mom made, because one. Let me be very frank. Okay. There was one time she had to travel all the way to Kumasi just for medications.
Mm.
And she came back, and the medications I was giving to her, forgive my French, it smelled so bad.
Mm.
When she has to apply the medications on her body, and it was so bad. So I kept wondering, why is it that she doesn't want to go to the hospital just for treatment? But then it reoccurred to me that I'm not going through what she's going through.
Mm.
She's desperate. Like she said, her mother passed away because of cancer.
Yeah.
So definitely someone like this,
the trauma
and everything, she's not gonna have it. So yeah, I was pretty not on the same boat with her, but then I had to just support her all the way.
So yeah. You called your great aunt.
I had to
needed reinforcements. Yeah,
I had to do something. I had to take a step. So I, like she said, I spoke to a cousin, and she informed my aunt, my grand aunt, that hey, this is what's happening to my mom, so what can we do then? Like she said, she just flew down to Ghana and had to put her foot down to make something happen
for her to go to Kolebu. Yeah. Wow. So okay, so Auntie Barbara, so then finally you've decided to go to Kolebu.
Yes.
So you started with the chemo.
Yeah.
Okay, what was that like?
hey, chemo. It was not easy.
It wasn't.
The first time I went for the chemo, I think after 5 days, I started vomiting, nausea, weakness. I don't know how to describe it.
It's terrible.
It was horrible. Terrible and horrible. But do you know one thing? Even during the herbal treatment, I was praying. A lot of people to help me in prayers. And I took the first chemo. The first chemo, that time my auntie was around.
Okay.
Let me mention the name.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
Mrs. Enrita Obi, God bless you for what you did for me, you and your husband, Mr. Obi. I really appreciate it. Thank you once again. She took me, when I went for the first chemo, she was with me. But the second one, that time, she went back to London. So I did the first one, second one, and then the third one. Normally, if you have 6 cycles, when you go, after 3, you go and see the doctor.
Okay.
And during my journey, I told God that, God, I vow that when you heal me, I'll not hide what you have done for me, but I'll come out and let people know what you have done for me. So after the 3 cycles, on Wednesday, I went to see the doctor. And he gave me a medical report that I should go and do a blood test and then bring it the following week.
Okay.
And I went to church on Sunday. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time, God is good. One of my pastors told me that, Auntie Barbara, God said I should tell you that you are not going to take the chemo again. In fact, I grabbed that prophecy. So it was on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, when I went to the hospital. The doctor told me that, Auntie, you are not going to take the chemo again. But you have to go to, you have to do your surgery.
And then the radiation.
And then the radiation. That day, God.
Yeah.
I thank God. And I thank him that he has heard my prayers. In fact, a lot of people, my family members, friends, well wishes, everybody was praying for me. So I went to anesthesia.
So why did he decide to take you off the chemo? Did he tell you why?
He said the chemo was not working for me.
Oh, wow.
The chemo was not working for me. So I have to...
So there was no point going through all of the pain and the...
It wasn't easy. The pain was horrible. I went for anesthesia. That was April. Ending of April. So May, I went to that anesthesia department. And then on June 17th, I had my
surgery.
Do you know one thing too? The time I was going through the treatment, fear, I mean, limitation, and then the way I was feeling very weak. One of my pastors who told me that, Auntie Barbara, God said you should stop thinking and be singing worship and praises every time. Instead of thinking, whenever there is the fear, and then the thinking, I should just sing. And it really worked for me.
Wow.
Because most of the time when I wake up from bed early in the morning,
you're throwing out.
No, I'll be singing.
Okay.
From bed, okay. I'll be singing. And the singing and all those things, it drops the thinking,
the fear.
And then the fear, it took away the fear from me. So sometimes even when other people who are passing through the same thing, those who have breast cancer, sometimes they call me and I tell them that this is what I did, and now I'm here.
What was your favorite song to sing during that time?
Shidake ijemo, aha wanyombo yengwe, alleluia, alleluia, uziana, shidake ijemo, aha wanyombo yengwe, alleluia. Even when I'm in pain, I praise my maker. A lot of songs. So that was what helped me. Even sometimes when I'm crying and somebody called me, the way I'll talk to the person, Mercy will say, hey, Auntie Barbara, or sometimes my son will say, hey, are you not the one who was crying? Look at the way you encourage that person. And I said, no, I don't have to share the pain that I'm going through to another patient. At least I have to encourage the person, because you people have been encouraging me. So I also have to impart that into other people's life.
Yeah.
That is what I went through. So I did my surgery, but after they brought me back to the ward, there was complication.
Okay, from the surgery.
From the surgery, I felt something on my chest here.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So they took me back.
Was it paining? Was it hurting you?
It was not hurting, but it was. I felt it like a ball.
Okay.
Bulky, something bulky there.
Okay.
So I called one of the nurses, and then he called the doctor. As soon as they came, they took me back to the theater again. So they brought me back on Friday morning.
Okay.
That day, everybody who will see me at Kolebu said, Kawo too, hey, is that your son? They say how my son wept throughout the night over there, because I was taken back to the surgical ward, to the theater.
So theater, yeah.
To the theater.
Why were you crying?
I'm a hard guy, I don't cry, sorry.
Your mama does.
So yeah, so imagine you go to your mom, and then she goes to she does her first surgery, and then you come back, and all of a sudden, I mean, you literally saw her lying there, and then you come back from pathology, because I had to take a lump for a test. Okay. And I come back, her body is not there anymore, and then there was a part of the bed sheet that was soaked. From what I heard, was blood. At that point in time, nothing went through my mind. It was terrible. Yeah. And the point is, none of the doctors was telling me.
They were not telling you exactly
what was happening. All they were telling me was like, go and buy blood. I think that day I bought blood like 5 times.
Wow. Yeah.
I bought blood like 5 times, and look how big Kolebu is. I literally lost like 50 pounds that day, because I was just all over the place. I asked them questions, what's happening? I'm like, don't worry, she's fine. Don't worry. I left the place. Luckily, the work I was doing was a remote job, so I had ample time to, you know, be there. I left the place like 11:59. I came back home, and I'm not a gospel person, but that day, I had to download gospels and listen to gospels.
Wow, I see. God works in mysterious ways.
I tell you, I wept like a baby.
You were scared?
Because I didn't know whether she was alive. I didn't know whether she was dead. And nobody was telling me anything as to whether she's okay or not. So it's not like you can control it. It just comes out.
Yeah, no, I get
it.
That
just comes out.
So what time did you go back to the hospital?
So immediately the next day, around, I got to the hospital around 6.
Okay.
I was still there, clueless of what was happening. Nobody was telling me anything. So around 9:30, I went there with one of my other aunts, Auntie Claire, came over with my other grandmother, Auntie Phoebe, Grandma Phoebe, sorry. She came in and they told us that, oh, she's doing better now, so we should just go to the waiting room to see her. So on going there, I saw her. Honestly speaking, where young nurses and young doctors around, I think they were doing their whole practical things. The moment I saw her, I just broke down. Yeah. It was that bad. And I'd say one thing that kept her was a hope. Yeah, because the moment we went inside, I saw her face, and then she made a statement that she was just black, but then she could tell that no, I needed her. That statement she made again too. That I can literally say that day, I cried like five times.
Yeah.
I cried like five times because it was an emotional one for me. Yeah, single mom. So it was.
And I mean the fact that so in her pain, she was conscious of the fact that, you know, like my son will probably be going through this.
Exactly.
So I need to.
Yeah, stay alive.
Stay alive because of.
Yeah.
But why were you? Why was it the surgery that long? Or they didn't take you straight to theater?
They took me straight to theater, but I didn't know what happened. But they brought me back to the
in the morning. Did they tell you why?
So yeah, from what another doctor shared with me, there were complications. I think they did some things we're not supposed to do. I think they cut something they're not supposed to cut. So I mean, it's a surgery. So definitely things are going to be cut. Okay. You know, so instead of things going the way it went south, so they had to take her back to, you know, get her.
So it was a long
2 days.
Wow.
Yeah, 2 days.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
So you woke up.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Okay. I woke up at the recovery room. I think midnight, because they kept me there for I think about 3 or 4 hours before they brought me back to the
ward.
And do you know one funny thing? When I woke up, I saw only one light. And I said, God, give me another chance. Give me another chance. Give me another chance. So when everything was cleared, I saw that it was not only one light in that room, but a lot of
lights.
And I just thank God for my life. Whatever went on, I didn't know. But at the end of the day, I came back.
So through all of this, were you worried about him?
Of course. Hey, my heartbeat. I call him my heartbeat. He has been very, very, very supportive. Please thank him for me. I mean, all my family members.
Mm.
I don't know who to mention.
And who not to mention. Not to mention. All of them, yeah.
Mercy's mom, Star Claire. My brothers. I have 2 brothers. My auntie Phoebe. I mean, I thank all of my family members.
Mm.
And then my loved ones, they have all been supportive. They call, they encourage me.
They pray.
They pray for me and my pastors.
Mm.
They come to the house, they visit me. I mean, I'm on one of the, Modloko Foundation.
Oh, okay.
But local,
we had a lady. Yeah.
The time I was doing my during my chemo, but local, she came to my house with another guy called Sule. The mother is dead. The mother died of cancer.
Mm.
So she came to my house with Sule, and she even showed me her breast. She really encouraged me.
Mm.
Auntie Phyllis, a whole lot. Gina. I don't want to mention some and leave some.
And I know, so I get it.
Mm.
So, okay, so you've finished the surgery.
Yeah.
How are you feeling at that point?
Okay, they show us some exercise that we should do, so.
You started doing that.
Friday. Mm. I started doing it. And I went to the hospital on Wednesday.
Mm.
I had my surgery on Thursday, and then I think Tuesday or so, I went back home.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was what happened.
When did you start the radiation?
I think it was June, but the doctors gave me another referral to oncology.
Mm.
That is the radiotherapy department. And I went there, see another doctor. They gave me some mark. They showed me the day that I should come for marking, then they mark where the radiation will be taken.
Yeah.
So I started my radiation in November.
Was that as horrible as the chemotherapy or it wasn't?
Oh no, the radiation, you just lie down and then they fix the machine on you, so you don't feel anything.
You don't feel anything.
Uh-huh.
You didn't feel sick or?
No, I didn't feel sick.
Okay.
I did 25 cycles.
Okay.
Of the radiation. I go there on my own.
Okay.
During the chemo, I have to go somebody.
So that means after the surgery, you started feeling better.
After the surgery, I started feeling better. But you know, the pain, the numbness, still there.
Is it gone now?
No, it's still there. But it's on and off.
Okay.
The numbness and other things, you feel it for a long time, but it will go gradually.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. But it's not too bad.
What do I have to say? I've passed through it, and I know the time will come when
the pain,
the Almighty God will take the pain from me.
So I want to talk to Auntie Mercy, but before that, I think this is like my last question to you. Tell me about the day that you found out that, like, it's over. Like, I'm done with the radiation. I'm done with, and you can, like, just go back to your normal life. I mean, I know with the hormone therapy, it's not like you have to go to the hospital all the time.
No, you don't have to.
So the day that you finally got to that point, how did it feel?
That day, I really thank God. I said, Almighty God, I thank you for being there for me. Mm. I thank you for my family. I thank you that you have seen me through the treatment and everything has come to an end. I even went to church to thank God.
Did he go with you?
Of course.
Okay.
He went with me. We all attend the same church.
So, Tim, what did all of this do for your faith? Because I think Mommy was very focused on God.
So for starters, I almost lost my faith.
In the beginning,
because this is somebody who is a tithe payer. She works in church. She sings in church sometimes. She's lived almost all her life worshiping. And then all of a sudden, something like this struck her. And then, like, God, what are you doing? Like, I mean, you claim you are there for your people. So then why did you let something like this struck my mom, who is always like, you know? But then again, there's something I always keep saying. Everything happens for a reason. If it doesn't happen, you never know.
Yeah.
And if my mom didn't go through what she went through today, she wouldn't be sitting here with you having a discussion and even being a breast cancer. I call her advocate, but she doesn't want to advocate. So yeah, being a breast cancer advocate. So yes, my faith was a bit, you know, shaken. But then one way or the other, you have people that will come into your life, like my family, my ex-girlfriend. Yeah, that will come into your life and then, you know, let you understand that, hey, don't let your faith shake. Like, come back on plan. But everything is going to go through. Yeah.
Okay. So you walked away stronger?
Yes, I would say so.
Yeah?
Yeah. It taught me a lesson. It really taught me a lesson. And it made me believe that, see, nobody deserves to go through something like this because, like she mentioned, she went through chemo surgery twice. There wasn't something called chemo brain. I literally had to buy her 3 phones because chemo brain was just making her forget everything.
Wow.
So it's going to groom you, whether I like it or yes. Mm. It will literally groom you. And you have to accept that this is what it is. Accept it. It's here.
Yeah.
Now what am I going to do about
it?
You have to be there for her. Live with it. But as time goes on, things will get better.
Yeah. Let's go on Zoom and say hello to Auntie Mercy. Hello, Auntie Mercy.
Hello.
Hi, I'm so sorry to bring you in late. I was really enjoying Auntie Barbara's narration. So, I mean, just really quickly, she talks about how much you were there for her in the whole process.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what was it like for you watching somebody you love, you know?
It's heartbreaking to go through this. Heartbreaking for you to see a loved one go through what she went through. Sometimes you don't even know what to say. For me, sometimes I don't know what to say to her. I have to gather courage and then use the word of God.
Yeah.
Even use Job as an example for her. What she went through, truth be told, I don't wish it on anybody.
Yeah.
But I thank God for her life and for how far he has brought my aunt. She has been through a lot. And I always say she's a fighter and she's a warrior. Mm. For her to be on your platform, talk about what's happening in their life, it's a miracle she's still alive.
Mm.
And one thing is that she talks about this to everybody,
mm-mm.
whether in the public transport, in church, everywhere. And because of her, we are very particular about what we eat. She's always on my back. Let's go for a walk. Let's go for exercise. She never talk about how good she is when it comes to exercising. Hmm. She works out a lot. She walks a lot. She knows what to eat and what not to eat. And one funny thing, when you go out for programs, she always want to find out from the chef, the caterers, oh, what kind of spices do you add in this food? Is that tin tomato? Do you add sugar to this juice? It's very particular about what she eats,
yeah,
and what goes into her body. Mm.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, wow. It's very, very, very important. Yeah,
wow.
She knows she doesn't have to eat after certain hours,
mm.
and she has taken good care of herself too.
Yes, she has. She has.
Yeah,
wow.
And I'm so proud of her. I want to use this moment to tell her that, you know, I love you.
Of course,
you know, I know
you love me so much. Thank you. Yeah, my favorite
and
niece,
as usual and always, will be. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for pushing all women. Thank you for telling your story, because people go through this and they don't want to talk. But you don't care. You don't shy away from what you went through. You always come out to talk about it, to help other women. To be survivors like you, to be fighters like you. So I pray that God preserve and protect you always.
Well, amen. Amen to that.
Amen.
Thank you, Auntie Mercy.
You're welcome.
I don't cry. I've stopped crying.
So before I let you go, is there anything you would have done differently?
No.
Like, for example, gone to the hospital quickly?
Oh. You know, the Bible said that in everything we should give thanks.
I'm trying to. I'm trying to ask you the question so that you would tell the listeners that when they get their report, okay. They should go
okay.
to call
okay.
them.
Oh, I'll say
they
it.
They should not wait
for I'll say it. Months. You know, I understand you. Okay, so what I have for the public is that, ladies over there, every month, 5 days after your menstrual period, please, please check your breast. When you find anything unusual, if you see a lump, your nipple, maybe blood is coming out from your nipple.
Discharge.
Coming out from your nipple, or maybe watery. When the skin of your breast looks like an orange.
Mm.
Any change at all you see on your breast.
An orange?
Yes. The skin will. You see the way the
skin, color or the texture.
The way they feel.
Okay, okay.
The holes.
That's okay.
Sometimes
okay.
the breast becomes that way.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe if you see that the color have changed, please, you know your breast. So any change at all that you see, don't sit down.
Mm.
Just go to hospital so that they will check it for you. It's not every lump that is cancerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you go and the doctors check you, they will do everything for you.
Yeah.
Because early detection
saves lives.
Yeah.
And most of the time when they say most of the people when they hear the word cancer,
mm.
then they apply it to death.
Mm.
That as soon as you have cancer,
then
you
die.
But it's not so. I'm here today. I've survived by the grace of God for 3 years. I know some people 5 years, 20 years, 16 years. I mean a lot of years.
Mm.
And then one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Stigmatization.
Mm.
Because of stigmatization, a lot of people, when they see such a thing, they don't want to come out.
Mm.
But for me, for instance, nobody stigmatized me.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So I want to tell the public that when you have a family member who has passed through breast cancer, you should not stigmatize the person, because breast cancer is not contagious. Mm. Just love the person, encourage, so that the way women are dying, some they'll go to the hospital late and it will be too late.
Yeah.
So they should encourage and then help, because I, for instance, my family members helped me physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. I thank them and my loved ones. I love them all for what they did for me.
Mm.
And my auntie in London, she has a prayer group. They also helped me in prayers and financially.
Wow.
I thank everybody who took part during my treatment and up till now. Once a while, some people say, because I'm not working, so I have some momo.
Oh, you take this. Life, Barbara.
You know, you have to do a lot of scan, lab tests, and then medication,
and then the medication,
all those things. Hey, if you have cancer and you don't have money, that alone can kill you.
Can kill you, yeah.
And then thinking, it's not the cancer that will kill you.
The thinking.
The thinking.
The stress.
Stress, depression, and frustration can kill you.
Yeah.
So everybody should come in for anybody at all who is passing through breast cancer.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Auntie Barbara. Let me just take a few of the messages that have come through. Pedro says, watching the show live and clear inside Indianapolis. Hey, Kumasi. Okay, let me just leave it there. Auntie Barbara, you're a huge inspiration. God bless you and your handsome son. Why must he be described? Not your good son, faithful son, kind son. Anyway, Sister Trin? Okay, I don't know what that means. Auntie Barbara, God has been good to you. Auntie Barbara's heartbeat, Tim, you do all. Louisa says, hi, Auntie Barbara, I'm watching you live. God bless you and your beautiful son. Auntie Barbara, Ekomepe. So Phyllis was here last week.
Yeah,
what God does, what God cannot do does not exist.
You know, I'm not.
Together we shall fight and win breast cancer. Junior, you're one in a million. God richly bless you. Oh, I love that. Okay, well, thank you so much for your messages, and thank you for coming in to talk to us today.
Thank you, too.
So, yeah, we'll be continuing our Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So next week, we'll have another conversation. But joining me on the phone lines, this is completely off the whole breast cancer, but something really exciting. So there's a book coming out, and let me take a minute and just speak to the author. Hello, good evening. Oh, she's gone. Okay, we're going to try again. But yeah, let me get the details of that. So one of our friends of the show is launching a book. I think it's next week Friday. Yes, so it's next week Friday. Actually, it's not next week Friday. It's this Friday. It's at 6 o'clock at Accra City Hotel. The book is called Hey Diamond. And so we wanted to talk about that briefly because it's a book for young girls. So do we have Adiza back on? Okay, hi, good evening.
Hello, Inimwa.
Hi, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Oh, that's amazing. So this is really, really amazing. Tell us a little bit about Hey Diamond.
Oh, Inimwa. Thank you very much. But Hey Diamond, I'll leave it till the launch. But a bit about it is basically, you know, I do a lot of teens advocacy, right?
Mm.
So over time, per experience and per the feedback, I realized that anytime we go around and we speak to them, you get the teens coming around, sending you messages and say, oh, I was motivated, I was inspired and all that. So I sat down one time with a lady who have always been on my neck to put together a book. So I'm like, it shouldn't just end when we go for the advocacy, because sometimes, even me in my adult age, there are times I need someone to speak to on certain decisions I want to make. And as a teenager or a young girl, they usually find themselves in that confusing state with the age of this trend on digital media and all that, easily they are pressurized. So this is a book that will be with a young girl if she wants to seek guidance, like a practical tool that she has, away from us just coming around to speak to them and leaving them like that. So it's a guide.
Right, okay. Oh, sounds exciting. So when is the launch and can anyone come?
No, please. It's strictly by invitation.
Okay.
And the launch is in 2 days on Friday, God willing.
Okay, okay. Well, that sounds good. But the book will be available...
The next day, it will be available on Amazon. It will be available in some retail stores across Ghana.
Okay, okay. All right, so I guess when it comes out, then we'll have more information on where to get it, how to get it. I'm sure you'll post on your social media.
Yes, please.
Okay, so do you just want to give us your social media pages?
Yes, my pages on Instagram, Kubra Diamonds, on X, Kubra Diamond or Adiza Ibrahim, on LinkedIn, Adiza Ibrahim. Yes, and you can also send me an email, kubradiamonds@gmail.com.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. Yeah. Well, we wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
We hope that it will be an amazing event and that the book will go on to have the kind of impact that you're hoping it will have.
Thank you very much, Inua. And I hope you are coming.
Yes, please. Friday, 6 o'clock.
Yes. Strong and sassy.
We'll be there. We'll be there to support. Thank you so much. Thank you
Thank you so much for having me.
All right then. Okay, so that's us done here on Strong and Sassy. And that's Adiza Ibrahim. She's a friend of the show and she has a book out. So for your teenage daughters, it'll be available from Saturday. And if you just look on her page, Kubra Diamonds, you'll be able to find it. I still have Auntie Barbara and Tim with me though, but we run out of time. So, but I just got a message and it says, I just spoke with my friend and I realized she has breast cancer. Unfortunately, she has been taken to her village for herbal treatment. Please help me to save my friend. I'm God's way from missing on. God's way, I'll call you. I'm not too sure how we can, you know, interfere. But I think it's scary, you know, when you hear that somebody's been taken to the village for. Because I think over the years, we've realized that the herbal treatment doesn't actually target the cancer. Anyways, that's us done. I think I've said bye already. But